enough. I am regularly encounter when folk are tiptoeing their way into this community or any of the other communities actually that I've been a part of, but this one in particular. Word for word, every single time at one of our getting to know you classes where we orient people to the history of our tradition and how we do things here, someone will say, "You know, the thing is, I'm not really much of a joiner. I don't really like to join." And today, I actually want to lift up and honor the reality of what might make that so, but also encourage you to move beyond it, to allow yourself to belong. And I'm not talking about formal membership in the congregation here, though that is a path that many have chosen. I'm talking about a shift in your heart, such that you could be here forever and never join officially and still belong, if you can find the courage to overcome the fear and limitations that makes us keep saying, "You know, I'm not really much of a joiner." Why don't people want to join things? And what about religious communities in particular? How do we learn to give of ourselves without losing ourselves? I know of what I speak. I think I have uttered these words myself. For very many years, I was a non-joiner. It began, I think, in my youngest days. School spirit was a mystery to me. Those big pep rallies at Lakewood High School with all the banners and the cheering, I was like, "This is one step from Nuremberg, you know." Boy Scouts, I couldn't find my way there, even in my own family to a large degree. I was for many years a non-joiner. I liked to think that this was because I was motivated by a loftier, more noble goal. I don't want any boundaries. I'm a member of the human race. And although that is a noble goal, I came to realize over time that it also reflected, it was just actually an excuse. An excuse for my elitism or my misanthropic attitude. Slowly over time, through sometimes being compelled to be in groups and other times taking the risks, I learned to face the various fears that keep us from allowing ourselves to belong. Like many of you, like maybe all of us, complex and often difficult family relationships can make trust or self-confidence or threatened. Sometimes those voices that say not good enough look like somebody very close to us on our shoulder. I was also just plain introverted. Being around large groups of people, like I said, always made me a little nervous. I was afraid of being swallowed up into something or losing my freedom or, God forbid, someone telling me what to do. Even though at many points in my life since, somebody telling me what to do was exactly what I needed. That good enough voice is reflected in a little story I read about fitness, that's completely random, of people who are afraid to go to the gym. And the most common thing they say is, I really want to get in shape before I go to the gym. Right. You know, all those people seem so perfect, don't you know? So I'm just going to get myself perfect, and then I'll go join. I'm just going to get fit, and then I'll go to the gym. And you're laughing because you know there's some missing link there. But it might not also just be internal fears, doubts, and past experiences that cause us to keep ourselves at bay from others and what they have to offer us. Groups themselves, of course, and I won't say particularly religious ones, but religious ones among them have their flaws. There are reasons to fear yielding ourselves to something. Every tradition has its failures, its hypocrisies. Every nation has its failures and its hypocrisies, as we heard in the milestones. Sometimes we attach to these very strongly, or we're taught to, so much that even whispering to a good friend, "I'm going to church on Sunday," feels like a hard thing to do. All that baggage. Will I be a part of that? Will I change? What about that open-mindedness and independence I prize? The fact of the matter, too, is that joining any group, allowing yourself to be a part of any people or project, carries great risk. And the easiest thing to do is to not do it. It's just a fact. Churches fold. Organizations stumble. Nations and empires fall. Families fall apart and die out. There are no guarantees. We have the powers we need, but there are no guarantees. The future is open. It can become easier to just keep to oneself. And in the modern age, the legacy of liberalism writ large, and it's a positive one overall, is that we will stop having religious wars, please, by basically keeping our spirituality to ourselves. Now, that's been very successful in a lot of ways, but is a strictly private spirituality all there is to the picture? My friend Matt Lawrence, the priest across the street, also, as regularly as I, encounters folk saying, usually right after, "I'm not much of a joiner." It's because I'm more spiritual than religious. Oh, I'm a very spiritual person, but I don't really believe in religion. And Matt says, and I have come to agree, that saying that is a little bit like saying, "I believe in education, but I don't believe in schools." "I believe in healing, but I don't believe in hospitals." Right? There is a power and a place for institutions and groups of people, and the way they make us come together. How else can we practice love? How else can we bump up against the boundaries of our own ever-growing self? How can we practice forgiveness if we don't put ourselves in contact with other people? I guess we could just give up. I heard tell of a former member who left because the congregation doesn't do enough social justice. That I don't know where that would come from, actually. But whatever the complaint would be, "Oh, that group of people doesn't do things the way I think they should do them." Well, I'm not sure how leaving is ever going to change that then. We need you here to say we're not doing enough of this or that, or "I want to go here, I want to go there," and then have to encounter, as we all do, everybody else's wishes and dreams in the midst of that. We live in such a strange time in this unfolding evolution of our species. In many ways, we are encouraged to be more individual than ever. You can wear what you want. You can get tattoos and still get a good job. You can, all kinds of music are available, all kinds of ways to express oneself, every sort of hobby, every kind of club. Human rights do continue to advance. Our freedoms grow. The worth and dignity of the individual, something we've been fighting for a long time, I believe we advance in that cause. And yet, at the same time, we are also more interconnected, more social than we've ever been. At a degree of complexity, I think, that we've never seen. It is now global, in fact. It's not that we have become more social creatures. We have always been social creatures. There's no escaping that. It's not whether or not you want to be social. It's just how, and how engaged, and how open to being transformed by it. Think about all of the different overlapping groups that one could belong to, that people do belong to, that shape our society. Of course, our families and our ancestral history, cities, states, countries, businesses, small and large, all kinds of clubs and sororities and fraternities, the gym you join if you finally get in shape to join it. On the negative side, gangs and armies. There's unions, political parties, professional organizations, financial groups, nonprofits, neighborhood groups, community organizations, sports teams. Everywhere we see layer upon layer of groups, proving, I think, again and again, that we are more than the sum of our parts. The world is so complex, so much of it, every single day, just the water out of the tap relies on the hard work of hundreds and hundreds of people that we will never meet. That network is huge, hard to even ever get a handle on. I don't think anyone has a handle on it. Our actual human network, the human race to which we do belong, is bigger than the largest institutions, bigger even than countries. And it can make us be afraid of getting lost in that. I think the promise, though, is also that all of those groups together, everybody finding their place where they belong, it is actually that energy that lifts us all up over time. There are so many temptations to isolate ourselves. You can watch a cable news channel that just confirms your own beliefs. You can always find groups that will reflect just who you are and what you already believe. Just read the same blog of the guy who thinks exactly as you do, and the world makes perfect sense. It's just that it's not the actual world we live in. Now, some of those technological things, which also I fear silo us, they also offer all kinds of new opportunities for the group to unfold. We think just of the role of social media in the recent revolutions and democratic movements in the Middle East. And meetup.com, anybody know it? Right? Another miracle of the internet. You can join 820 other people in an outdoor club. 600 folk get together to photograph the vineyards of Sonoma County. Singles happy hour, the vegan group, cheese making. You could join the North Bay Skeptics. There's 151 of them. On the other side, you could join the Crop Circle Study Group. There's 123 of those. And I think these are magnificent, and it's a great use of the technology to bring people of like mind together. That's all good. But such groups, the way in which we can fall to the temptation to just live with folk who are as much like us as we can find, that will not, in fact, fulfill our deepest longings or our highest aspirations. A religious community on purpose is not created in our image, in my image. It's created in a collective image. It's created in an image of what people transcending difference can be together. It places higher demands on us. Here we are. When I finally joined something, first it was a Buddhist sangha. Now, fortunately, it wasn't 200 years ago in Japan, where to join the monastery, you had to sit on your knees for 3 days outside the front door. Now, that may just be immediately unappealing. Okay. It is. On the other hand, when you stepped inside that door, you knew that every single person in there was as committed as you were to truth and awakening and enlightenment. There's something to be said for that. In Buddhism, we take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Buddha is enlightened nature, one's own, though perhaps yet unrealized, and that which we affirm in all people. We take refuge in Dharma, in things that are true, in the world as it is. And we take refuge in Sangha, in each other. So there is reliance on self and there's reliance on other. But you only reap that benefit if you actually, However it is, on your knees for 3 days or just walking in from Mendocino Avenue, if you yourself choose to cross the threshold. And once we do, we are given this great opportunity to learn and grow. Being in community forces us to be more mindful of our own limitations, our own blind spots, our own gifts, our own possibilities, and also to be mindful of that in other people. Self and other, as I've said so many times, in a kind of harmony. And the more they swing back and forth, the more one's own self grows, the more awareness and the ability to accept and love the other grows, until every now and then we realize, wow, we really are one. I don't think it's true that you have to love yourself before loving others. I think you can learn to love yourself through the practice of trying to love others. And for me, it required joining. First Buddhism, and then Unitarian Universalism. I finally realized that being for something doesn't mean being against other things. That identifying oneself as something doesn't mean that the way that other people are is bad. We draw a boundary for ourselves to give our self shape and strength, but that's an open boundary, not a closed boundary. And it can continue to grow. Our own possibilities are so much greater than we can ever know if we remain isolated. If you really want to join the human race, you got to hang out with actual human beings. And here we are. And then if you reap the reward of that, you invite more people into that ever-growing circle. If you are looking for that, we welcome you. I invite you to choose to belong. You can't see what life is like in the house until you let yourself in and step over the threshold. And I finish with the words of one of our great ministers, Rebecca Parker. We are here at the threshold. We are here. We who have crossed many thresholds already to arrive at this space and time. Coming out from identities and locations that didn't embrace the fullness of who we are. Coming across distances, boundaries, discoveries that have beckoned us to deeper life and challenged us to change. Coming with our loves, our partners, our children, our memories, our knowledge, our wisdom, and our willingness. Coming to our senses, our awareness, our knowledge of the critical issues that threaten the well-being of the earth. Coming again to decisions, commitments, hopes, determinations that we know matter. We are here at the threshold. Come, let us cross the threshold together. May it be a house for all our dreams. So be it.